Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Lost in Translation Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
And what are we losing in translation today?
Signs. These are signs that were translated into English. You know, you
translated, I gather, incorrectly?
Of course they were. Why else would we be interested in them?
We wouldn't. No.
Anyway, Andy Bell sent us a list of signs spotted in foreign countries that were, of course, translated into English imperfectly. I would say, for example, here's one at the front desk of a hotel in Athens. You ready?
Yeah.
Visitors are expected to complain between the hours of 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Monday through Saturday.
They're expected to. That's very good.
Well, it's good to let the guests know what you expect of them, right?
Yeah,
I mean, otherwise,
right.
You know, what are they going to do? Here's one from a Japanese hotel. Mm. You are invited to take advantage of our chambermaid.
I hope they checked with the chambermaid first.
I hope so. Here's a good one from a dry cleaning shop in Bangkok. Drop your trousers here for best results.
Depends on what kind of results you're looking for.
Who knows? Anyway, if your car's giving you a bad sign or two these days and you're not getting the results that you want, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Micah from San Francisco.
Like M-I-C-A?
Yes. Like the mineral.
Like the mineral, yes.
Exactly. So I'm originally from Boston, I just want to say.
Really?
Cambridge is the best city in the world. It's true.
Not in the winter, it's not.
No, and that's why I don't live there.
In the winter, you want to be in San Francisco.
You are so right about that, my friend.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's
well,
up?
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, sure. So my issue is this. I have a 1990 CRX SI.
My God.
With 180,000 plus miles on it. And when I accelerate, it makes this high, shrill sound like a marching band is starting. And inevitably, I scare everyone on the street every time I accelerate. And I can't figure out what it is. I've had my car tuned up. I've had different things replaced on it. And it sounds like it's coming from the right-hand front side of the car, I think.
Does it also make the same noise when you are not moving?
It doesn't.
And how long does it... So let's
break
go
it
back.
Down.
Let's
okay.
break it down as best we can. You're at a dead stop. The engine is idling.
Right.
And as Tommy suggests, if you were to rev it up,
right,
it wouldn't make the noise.
I do not think so, no.
You do not think so, but
I'm not 100% positive about that, but...
Because you would never have occasion to do that, right?
I have recently had occasion to do that, where I was revving the engine. Like, you know, you charge a battery.
Yeah.
And I don't remember hearing that noise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but when I accelerate, it's really loud. It, like, because it's so loud, you know, you notice it when it happens.
So
okay,
the entire...
we'll assume that it does not make the noise. And if it turns out that it does make the noise, you can call us again next week.
Well, can I just give you this little bit of information?
Yeah.
The guy
You've given
said...
us a very little bit so far.
Oh, no. The guys who sold me the car put in a cool air intake valve.
Air intake filter.
Filter? I don't know. It's something to do with making it vroomy and fast.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if that might have something to do with it?
It could be. I mean, the kinds of demands you put on an engine when you rev it and ask it to produce power to move the wheels,
yeah.
You're asking it to suck in a lot more gasoline and air.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be the air that's whistling by this filter. That's what it sounds like. That's a Micah, that was a vital piece of information. Without that, we would assuredly have given you
the wrong answer.
Oh, no!
We're quick with that.
Rob came forward with the extra info then.
Yeah, no, in fact, one of the things I was thinking about was the possibility that, in fact, you had a intake air leak, like a leak in the intake manifold that can create that high... pitched
Ooh.
Whistling kind of sound, but it can also come from an ill-fitting air filter, one that was not designed for the car.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it could be that. So what you may want to do, do you have the original filter? No, of course not.
I doubt it.
Well, you can take it to a repair shop.
Okay.
And they can, what's called load the engine. Is this a manual shift?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, they'll put the thing in gear and try to simulate what is going on when you accelerate. They do it at the risk of burning your clutch up a little bit, but they'll only do it once. And they may, in fact, hear a not-so-intense version of this noise when they do that.
Okay.
And I'm betting it has to do with the air induction system.
Okay.
And it's a whistling, the kind you'd get like if you blew into a whistle.
And that's what it
you
sounds
know,
like.
You're forcing air to go through a small opening, and that's how you make whistles.
Interesting. Okay. Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's probably completely wrong, but it sounds great. And with any luck, you won't be on Stump the Chumps. Anyway, try that out.
Okay.
See ya, Micah.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK.
I think we started off pretty good here.
We did?
I think we did.
Should we quit?
That would be a good idea.
You wasted another perfectly good 10 minutes. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Paul from Ackworth, Georgia.
Hi, Paul. What's going on,
from
man?
From where, Georgia?
Ackworth.
Ackworth.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I can't confess to having heard of Ackworth before, but we trust that it exists.
It's where the suburb of Atlanta ends and the sticks begin.
Oh, okay. So you're on the stick side or the urban side?
Unfortunately, I think I'm on the stick side.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for calling, Paul.
All righty.
So what's going on?
I have a 2002 Toyota Tacoma.
Okay.
I've noticed this for a while now. When you stand outside of the car and it's empty and you look at it, if you stand in the front and look at it, the driver's side seems to sag a little bit to the right.
Oh.
It looks like a really big fat guy has been sitting in the car for about 6 years.
That big fat guy named Paul?
You know, I'm starting to think it might be.
Well, who else could it be?
Too many visits to Taco Bell.
And I'm wondering what's causing that and if I need to do something about it.
When you're looking at this, is it parked at the curb, you know, because all roads are kind of crowned, and if you were parked facing the wrong way on a street and you looked at it, it would look like, you know, it's listing. But if you I imagine you've tried this at various locations.
Yeah, pretty much at this, for a while, it's been every time I get out of the car, no matter where I'm parked, I look, and I'm just like, man, I'm wearing out the driver's side of the car.
Really? Do you use the pickup truck as a pickup? Do you carry stuff?
Yeah, for work, I carry a lot of, you know, tile and bathroom and kitchen appliances and garbage. And I drive alone a lot of the time. So, I mean, there is only one person in the car, but I don't think I'm super heavy.
Yeah, yeah. give us a round number, so to speak.
No, I weighed about 220 pounds.
220. That means he weighs 250.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might not be enough, but over 8 years, it might. And I'll tell you, when I had a pickup truck, and I did have one for a number of years.
And how much did you weigh at the time?
I weighed about 220 at the time. But whenever I put cargo in the back, I would almost always favor the driver's side. Because when I got out and I had to remove that stuff, it was just closer. So if I had, for example, a box of tiles to put in there,
yeah,
or something of that effect, or a rug, I would put it so that when I exited the driver's door, I had to take one less step to get the stuff out, if you know what I mean.
And also, if the truck started to lean, you could always blame the stuff that you put in it instead of yourself.
But I think, Paul, that over time, you have taken your toll on the suspension. And it's possible, of course, you have a broken spring, but you would usually hear that. You know, when you're one of them bumps, you'd hear a clang, 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 but you just may have worn the springs out.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I trust this is not the answer you were hoping for.
Well, I'm just hoping for an inexpensive answer.
Well, the inexpensive answer might be about 220 pounds of sandbags on the passenger side floor.
That'll do it.
I mean, how many inches do you think is the differential, if you had to guess?
I don't know. Maybe like an inch. I wouldn't
worry about it. If you had an impartial observer. Maybe somebody from the UN. Maybe you could get somebody from the UN to come and be an impartial observer and really look at this thing, forgetting that you're the driver,
right,
and just suggest to you that it's leaning. Maybe it isn't leaning. Have you heard anyone else say to you, oh, boy, Paul, your truck's really leaning, man?
No, no one else has known it.
Yeah, I think it's a guilty conscience. You stop going to Taco Bell, and this thing will start leaning the other way. But I wouldn't worry about it. One, you have it in the next time for an oil change. just have them check the suspension, make sure you don't have a broken anything. I'd be surprised if a broken spring, you know, was in your future.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. If you put on 40 or 50 more pounds, you might get a broken spring. But try piling all your gear on the other side to balance it off. Just to be on the safe side.
All righty.
Yeah, but I wouldn't worry. I think you're good.
Okay.
See you later, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I guess Taco Bell won't be underwriting our show.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe you never know. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888. By the way, I didn't mean to suggest that it was just Taco Bell, which would make you pork out of me. You could go to Burger King, McDonald's. You might as well kill all of these guys while we're at it. Denny's, you name it. Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh, no. Don't mess with Dunkin' Donuts. Don't mess with
them. I'm sorry. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Eileen, and I'm calling from High Falls, New York.
Hi, Eileen from High Falls, New York.
Where is that?
It's halfway between New York City and Albany in the Mid-Hudson Valley, the beautiful Mid-Hudson Valley.
There must be some waterfalls there.
Yeah, it's a pretty big waterfall right in our town.
And probably high, those falls.
High falls.
Yeah. Anyway, what's going on, Eileen?
I have a 1977 Fiat Spider.
Really? Would you believe that I have exactly the same vehicle?
I heard rumor of this, yes.
Well, let's get right to the nitty-gritty. Does yours still run?
It does.
Oh, you're a leg up on Tommy.
When it runs, does the vehicle actually move?
You know, it does sometimes on its own wheels and then sometimes on the tow truck.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's to be expected. So what's going on with yours?
Well, I love my car. I do. And I've had a lot of different things repaired on it, of course, over the years.
Yeah.
But right now, the main problem I'm having is that it starts up. When I first start it up in the morning, it's great. Starts right up. And then I drive it somewhere, stop, go to start it up the next time, and it doesn't always start up right away.
What does it do?
It'll try to start up, and then it crank, and then I release the key, and it starts up.
Oh, really?
Oh, as you're releasing the key.
Right, and I have to, you know, time that release of the key just right.
So what's wrong with that?
So no matter how long you crank it.
Right.
I'd give $1 million for that feature. That's great.
Well, I think this thing may have, if I'm not mistaken, does your car have two sets of points, Thomas?
Yes, it does.
Well, one of your sets of points might be burned out. You must have somebody that you take this thing to.
Yeah, you know the acronym for Fiat, of course.
Finally, I'm almost there.
Well, my guy is Fix It Again Charlie.
Fix It Again Charlie.
That's good, too. I really would give anything for that feature.
Because his doesn't start at all.
And it works fine. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, well, the big deal is that sometimes it doesn't work. You have to catch
it. Exactly. And I'm running out of, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to get to the point where, it won't even start no matter how much I flip the key back.
See, Tommy has his car is unique. He's unique.
No.
Because if his car doesn't start, he goes back into the house. he has yet to grasp the notion that there are some people who may actually use the car to go someplace and have to rely on it. So his attitude is, well, it didn't start. I guess they didn't want me to go, whoever they are. But I would first check the points.
That sounds good.
I'll tell you the truth. I had to disengage the second set.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You could do without the second set.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Yes. You could do it without a lot of stuff in that car.
Yeah. I'm doing it without the second set, and it runs like a dream.
Like
a dream, I tell you.
Because once you do get it started, I'm sure it runs fine, right?
It does. It runs really nice. It's got about 150,000 miles on it.
Yeah, me too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
We should meet sometime halfway between your place and mine.
Well, you won't be taking these cars, that's for sure.
I know. I really just use it locally. I go to get, you know, we go to get ice cream at night or go to the swimming hole.
So what's the charm here, Eileen? I mean,
what's the charm? What does it take? My brother, he doesn't understand.
I don't understand, but I just want to hear it from someone else.
Go ahead.
I've heard him for the last 50 years extolling the virtues of these, quote, jalopies that he's always driven. But I'd like to hear it from someone who I trust might be sane and rational.
Well, you know, I love an old convertible, which it is. And it's just
Is it the smell, the oil leaks, or the fact that the wipers don't move? Or what is it? I mean,
yeah, do your wipers move?
They do, like 3 out of 4 days.
Tommy's wipers move at geologic speed.
They don't move when it rains, usually, but they do move.
All right. Well, Eileen, you may be another lost cause, but go see Charlie, and maybe he'll fix you up.
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much.
And I wish you the very, very best.
Yeah, you're
going to
need it. Yeah. See ya.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a very short break. And when we come back, we'll have the answer to last week's puzzler. Is there any shot that you have? You remember it?
Well, I don't just happen to remember things. When I remember something, it's because I have worked very hard at it.
Oh, so you don't remember the puzzler then? No chance, right?
Are you kidding? That takes work.
Well, I thought you might remember this one, actually, because it's about you and your brand new, what do you call that thing? Paunch.
That's not a paunch. Oh, it is a paunch.
Well, we'll be back with the whole puzzler story and more of your calls right after a short break.
So please stay tuned.
It's been a long, hard week. Stuck in the daily grind. I didn't get much sleep. No, I got you on my mind. I'll pick you up at 7. Come along for the ride. No need for chasing rainbows when I got you by my side. With the windows down and the radio.
And even though the NPR softball team tries to trade us to the History Channel whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like if you're a teacher with a class of really rotten students you want to punish.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course, the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, this is from my Travel and Leisure series, and the kernel of it was sent in by a fellow named Thomas Lindsay.
Hmm.
Now, listen up.
I'm listening.
When Tommy returned from his winter vacation this year, I noticed immediately that something was different.
Was I, like, more relaxed?
Well, you were.
Was I tanned, rested, and ready?
You were.
Was I shimmering with intelligence?
No. Not a chance. But you were, shall we say, portlier.
Portlier?
Okay, fatter. You were. Anyway, I thought it was important that my brother understand just how enlarged he had become, so I dashed off a series of urgent little emails to him, and when I looked back at these missives, I noticed there was one word in each note that had the same unusual characteristic. And I'm going to give you the list of words that all have something in common, and I'll give you the word first, and then I'll read you the sentence that it came from, just to clarify, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, you ready?
Or embarrass me.
Yes, exactly. Hey, I didn't eat ice cream sundaes for breakfast for 2 straight weeks. Anyway,
yeah.
Here are the words.
All right.
Pig, as in Tommy. You're starting to look as fat as a pig. That was the first word. The next word is table, as in Tommy. What did you do? Spend 2 straight weeks at the dinner table? Cab, as in Tommy. You obviously didn't walk much. Looks like you took a cab everywhere you went.
Hmm.
Real, as in Thomas. Take a real good look in the mirror and make it a full-length mirror. And yet, as in dear brother, it's not too late yet.
Hmm.
And finally, ride, as in Tommy dearest. Get on your bike and go for a long ride. So those are the words. Pig, table, cab, real, yet, and ride. And I said the order doesn't matter. And that there are many, many other words that can be added to this list. And the hint I gave is that none of the words begins with the letter A. No, none of the words that you might add to the list.
Yeah, yeah.
So the question is, what do these words have in common? Now, if you notice, the first letter in each of the words is from farther down in the alphabet than all the subsequent letters.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if you got that, you might have figured it out. If we assign to every letter in the alphabet a number, so A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, then the numerical place in the alphabet of the first letter is equal to the sum of the numerical places of all the other letters.
Oh.
Like table, for example. T is 20. A is 1, B is 2, L is 12, E is 5. So 1 plus 2 plus 12 plus 5 is 20.
What are the chances of that?
not good, actually. So that's the answer. And we might even have people, I'm sure we'll have people who listen to our show add to the list. So feel free to post anything you want on our website. And, of course, you could write a computer program that will do this.
Yeah.
But that would be cheating. You know, if you just come up with the words, write the letters of the alphabet out, put numbers underneath them, and see what you come up with. Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yes. Our winner this week is Mindy Nissenberg from Atlanta, Georgia. And for having her answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Mindy's going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which she can get a set of 4 CarTalk reusable shopping bags.
Now, you know that this reusable shopping bag has 4 sides to it, right?
Well, duh.
Well, you know, we tried to save money by using a 3-sided bag, but all the groceries kept falling out.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Well, congratulations, Mindy. And if your name's not Mindy, we have a new puzzler coming up soon with another chance for you to win. In the meantime, we'll take your car questions at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Jeff calling from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Hey, Jeff.
No kidding.
What's going on?
Well, I've got a 2004 Mazda 3 with about 116,000 miles on it. And last weekend when we had the beautiful weather, I went to turn on the AC and nothing. So what I want to know is this an easy fix if it's not working, or is this kind of a sign of things to come and it's time to dump the car?
How many miles are on this thing?
116.
116. And when you say you turned it on, did the fan work but no cold air?
Well, you know, the difference between having the knob turned all the way to the blue area without the AC button on and then turning the AC button on is negligible. There's no difference. So I was told that what I could do is open the hood and have my trusty assistant push on the AC button. I could stick my head and see if I could hear something clicking on.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear nothing.
I've been listening here, and I don't hear anything clicking on with my brother. So
yeah.
No, you don't have to do that, because we already know that it isn't clicking on.
Okay.
And it's not clicking on because one of several things has happened. You could have blown a fuse.
Right.
And you should certainly look at that first.
I like that idea.
Yeah, because
right,
that's cheap.
That's cheap.
Okay.
Or you could have lost the refrigerant.
So what do I do? Is that something you can replace, or is it a closed system? And is
oh, no, no. You can. I mean, there are many components to it. We have discovered over the years that air conditioning repairs fall into 2 broad categories.
Yeah.
Either $50 or $1,500.
Yeah.
And there's hardly anything in between.
Well, see, the problem is I was going to bring it to the local guy I go to, and what I don't trust about him is that 2 times ago when I did the tire rotation, he told me that the struts look bad and I need to replace them immediately, which, of course, I didn't do. But then the next time I went back to get the tires rotated, I said, how do the struts look? And they said, oh, they look fine. No problem here.
Same guy?
Same guy.
It wasn't us, was it?
No.
I don't think. I think this thing has gradually leaked out with 116K. It's likely that the evaporator is leaking, the condenser is leaking, the compressor is leaking. Any one of those things could be leaking.
Right. So if it's not the fuse, which would be nice and easy if it were.
Oh, no, it's never the
it's
fuse.
Not the fuse. No.
Then I got to bring it into an AC guy. Or
yeah, you got to bring it in. And they'll obviously check all that stuff. They'll see if there's current getting to the compressor. And there's a pressure switch which will tell them, you know, if there's not enough refrigerant in there, it won't allow the compressor to turn on because it will damage itself.
Okay.
So it's pretty simple, but...
And you live in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can bring it to us, and then we won't be able
to... Then we'll be able to make our boat payment for July.
We can hardly wait.
$1,500.
Yeah. Good luck, Jeff.
Thank you.
And see you later.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. 8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Frank calling from Las Vegas.
What's going on, Frank?
Well, I've got a 94 Jeep Wrangler, and when it's cold out and I shift gears, after I let the clutch out, it tries to stall. In fact, sometimes it does stall out, and it acts just like it's run out of gas.
So you have to pump the gas?
That's right.
So you're going to bip, 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 bip.
So you're pumping, you're pumping.
If you're, like, on the highway and you shift, it's a lost cause. Forget it.
Oh, even if you're on the highway.
Oh, yeah.
It stalled out.
That's right.
Wow. So we spin the wheel of misfortune here? Does 90, how many miles? You must have 180,000 miles on this thing.
140.
140,000 miles. During those 140,000 miles, do you recall ever once doing something like changing the fuel filter?
Yeah, I changed the fuel filter last summer.
You did?
Ah.
To address this problem?
Yes.
So when it finally does warm up, it's better, but I bet it's not perfect.
Yeah, you're going to hate this answer. It runs fine.
I knew that.
I can tell you that when the engine's at operating temperature and when it's warmer out, it does idle rough.
So what else have you tried? You changed the fuel filter.
I thought, well, since it runs fine at normal temperature, it's got to be, you know, a sensor or something.
Good.
So I started unplugging sensors, thinking that if I unplugged the bad one, nothing would change.
Oh, I see, I see. So, well, that's not true.
Yeah. I mean, but that didn't get you anywhere.
For example, the sensor that's reading the engine coolant temperature is sending a signal to the computer to tell it what to do with regarding the mixture. That's one of the things.
I got it.
Okay, but if you unplug that sensor, it's not going to send any signal to the computer. And all it's going to serve to do then is turn on your check engine light, which must be on now, right?
Right, because I did. I unplugged the throttle position sensor.
Yeah.
And that made it a little better. And then I had a check engine light, and it said engine temperature low. So I unplugged the temperature sensor.
Why not?
Yeah.
It ran great, except it wouldn't idle.
Well, it certainly could be something like the throttle position sensor. But you can't just unplug the thing because you're not going to send any signal at all then. What you need to do is test it. So you need to get the literature and find out what the readings are for the TPS. I'm going to suggest, on the other hand, that it's maybe none of those things, but probably clogged injectors. And clogged injectors will behave exactly the way you describe. And when the engine is warmed up, the engine becomes very forgiving of injectors that are partially clogged and have a bad, what's called, spray pattern. So if the injectors aren't spraying the fuel precisely in an atomized fashion, the engine will stumble and hesitate and not accelerate.
When it's cold.
When it's cold, exactly. When it's warm, you could dump gas in with a Dixie cup and the thing would run. It wouldn't care.
So how do I fix it?
Well, you can go. We have a machine at our shop called the MotorVac, and what the MotorVac does is it runs a solution of cleaner through your injector rail and cleans the injectors, and then it'll actually run a mixture of this stuff with gasoline right through the injectors and combust this stuff as it goes through the injector nozzles, so it cleans them up. Now, if they're really plugged, nothing works. But they're not that plugged because the thing still runs. So I'm guessing if you can find someone that has a motor vac, this might fix it. But before you do that, you need to have somebody test the TPS and maybe test the reading on the coolant temp sensor.
Okay.
You with me?
How much is that going to run, do you think?
Hundreds.
Well, see, I was unplugging sensors because I'm a cheapskate.
All right, here's what you do then. You add a couple of cans of fuel system cleaner to the gas tank.
Does that stuff really work?
Well, some of it works. You can try. You can start with something called Tecron, which
and
is
it doesn't
good.
Cost $100.
No, you can buy a case for $100. You may need a case.
Yeah.
You may be a case. So I would start with that. Or there's other stuff we use called 44K, which is made by a company called BG, and you put that in your gas tank. And if you have that condition of plugged injectors, you may start to notice a big improvement even with one can. And if you do, buy a case or try a few cans, you know, and in succession, and you may fix it. But you may have to break down, Frank. And you can do one of two things here. You can go out and buy yourself a digital volt-ohm meter.
Oh.
Okay.
All right. You've always wanted one of those, right?
As a matter of fact, I've been coveting one, yeah.
If you've been coveting one, then you can test your TPS with that.
I like
and
it.
And then you can also test the coolant temp sensor and see if that's within range. So with this one tool, you will be able to misdiagnose your car even more efficiently than you have to date.
The only way that could be better is if I could find an excuse to buy a second tool for the other sensor.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Well, good luck,
we'll
Frank.
Work on that for you.
Keep us posted.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Bye. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. See, that's what happens.
Yeah.
Looking at you when I say this, when you're a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Because when you're a cheapskate,
that's what happens.
You try to, don't forget the very important words. I don't know whose words they are. It's the stingy man who spends the most. Frank might be one of them,
as we
know you are. 888.
Yeah, but when I'm really getting into the trouble,
yeah,
I give it to you.
Well, that's true.
And you say, well, you're supposed to replace this. I said, that costs money.
That's what happens. And I replace it, I charge you. 888-CAR-TALK. I charge you double. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Julie from Benton, Arkansas.
Hey, Julie.
I have a 2002 Mazda Miata Special Edition.
Yeah.
And guys, have I got a problem for you.
Okay.
I have an Easter egg in the back of my car. It went down in the back of the car.
What do you mean by the back of the car?
It's inside the car?
Yeah, behind the back seat.
Behind the back seat.
Uh-huh.
And how'd that happen?
Well, my granddaughter was playing back there, and she says, uh-oh. What's wrong?
But can you can see the egg?
No, cannot. Now, I could when it first happened, but I couldn't get my hand down in there to get the egg.
Oh, you know the best way to get that out?
Yeah, get your granddaughter to stick her arm down there.
Well, considering she was only four, her arm won't reach that far.
You need a vacuum, a vacuum cleaner.
A vacuum. All right, but now here's the problem. I can't see it, but I can surely hear it.
When I turn curves,
it goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know. And if you hit a bump, it goes da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
One of these fine days, Julie, that shell is going to break.
Oh,
man.
The smell is going to knock you over.
Well, it's wood.
Oh, it's a wooden egg. Oh,
yeah,
oh, that's pretty good. Have you tried? I mean, you can't reach under the seats and get at this thing?
That's what I don't know. I want to know, what about the workings of the car?
Well, you could just the seat, both of the seats in the car sit on rails, which allow the seats to be adjustable.
Okay.
You know, so there's a space between the bottom of the seat and the floor of the car, which is where the egg may be, and it may be bouncing around on those rails, so it may be right there.
Oh, okay.
So get on your hands and knees. With the door open, and stick your head under there. Actually, if you had your granddaughter do it, she'll find it in a second. And there's no risk to anybody. But but if it's in an area that's inaccessible, beyond that, you could try putting a vacuum cleaner hose in there and fishing around. And once the thing hits it, you'll know it because the sound of the vacuum will change, and you'll have captured the egg.
Okay. Oh, listen, you have made my day.
We're glad it's not a real egg.
Okay, will do.
See you, Julie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, look, we have a new puzzler coming up after the break. But before we do that, someone sent us a clipping from the Washington Post Invitational. It came from Dan Gribben.
Oh, is this that add a letter and get a new word thing?
Exactly. Now, the old word is ozone. Everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
And the new word, you're going to like this, is boson.
Boson, I love it.
Which is defined as the substance surrounding stupid people that stops bright ideas from penetrating.
The boson layer.
Exactly. That's the cloud that follows you around all day.
No, that's the cigar smoke.
I think it's kind of a mixer. I think it's the cigar smoke and the boson layer. Anyway, when we come back, if the boson layer clears, we'll have a brand new puzzler, which is from my Life Can Be a Drag series.
I can hardly wait.
I'm sure. And we'll have more of your car questions, too, in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
Yeah, 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 yeah! Oh!
And even though Goldman Sachs shorts NPR stock whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and of course the, what, the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
And this is from my Life Can Be a Drag series, and it was sent in by Kathy Sebastian. And you ready? Pay attention now.
Yeah, I got it.
When I was a kid back in the 60s, my dad fell in love with drag racing. It seemed like every weekend he would drag me to see those things called slingshot rail dragsters tear up the track. I can't hear anything now because those things are so loud. They damaged my hearing. Now, if you remember, these dragsters were weird-looking, very long, open-framed cars, I guess, with a humongously powerful engine positioned just in front of the driver, who was seated in a cage in the very back of the vehicle. Why he was back there, I don't know. The front tires, which were way up front, were essentially bicycle tires, believe it or not, and they were inflated to something like 80 PSI, so as to minimize, as you might expect, rolling resistance. Mm. Nice skinny little tires, high pressure. While the rear tires were just the opposite, the ones that were driven by the engine, were huge racing slicks inflated to like 10 PSI, so as to maximize rolling resistance or traction. Even at that, they would always manage to lose traction and start smoking before they could get out of the gate. Made for great theater and a lot of extra noise. Well, when these cars started reaching quarter-mile speeds of 200 miles an hour and above, the crews noticed that after each run, the front tires came back with very low air pressure. In fact, almost flat.
Oh.
This phenomenon was not observed on the rear tires, but on the front ones only.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what caused the front tires to deflate? Where was the air going? And why? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the port side of a Meridian 341 extended pleasure cruiser yacht with 6.2-liter, 8-cylinder, 320-horsepower Mercury inboard engine, digital depth sounder, 2 6-rule bilge pumps, flush-mounted bridge compass, electric flush marine head, telescoping swim ladder, 110-volt microwave oven, and a 30-inch flat-screen TV, and send it along with a full-time captain named anything but Hazelwood to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge. Cambridge.
Oh, fair city.
Cambridge. Ma02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Now, if you have a question about your car right now, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Joanna calling from Brooklyn, New York.
Hi, Joanna. What's going on?
Well, I have a 2002 Ford Escape, and I'm having trouble with the gas pedal. There have been a couple times now where when I get in the car and I go to drive, the gas pedal is all the way on the floor. And then when I pull it up manually and step on it again, there's no resistance. But then if I wait a few minutes, it rises up on its own, and then it drives fine.
Interesting.
And if you, it is. Have you tried to start it when it was on the floor?
Yeah, I have the car running and everything.
Oh, so it starts right up when it's on the floor.
Yeah, everything seems to be fine except for the fact that I have no way of
changing the engine speed.
Exactly.
So it does. Yeah. It doesn't rev high when it's on the floor like this.
No.
It just idles smoothly?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can't rev it up. And what you do at some point is you manipulate the gas pedal.
Right.
What do you do? You're like, what do you give it, like a massage?
you put your toe under it and pull
it up? I can't remember now, but I think I either pulled it up with my toe or I stopped the car, got out, and pulled it up with my hand.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
And when you pulled it up, did it then stay up?
No.
It collapsed again. It's like trying to get my brother out of bed. I slap him around and say, come on, let's go. I got a show to do. And the next thing I know, he falls down again. He goes back to sleep. He's snoring. Well, this O2 has an electronic throttle. And I believe it does not have a cable. If it had a cable, I don't think this
wouldn't have happened this way.
I don't think this could happen this way because the way the cable works is when the pedal is down on the floor, the cable is pulled taut. Okay, and when the cable is pulled taut, that opens up the throttle under the hood, and it would rev like crazy. So if you were to get it started, the thing would be revving at 5,000 RPM, right. And it would sound like the engine is going to blow up.
Right.
So the problem is going to be in that pedal mechanism.
Okay.
Right. I think you're going to have to go to your Ford dealer, and ask them to replace it.
Okay.
I'm sure they'll be eager to do it. I mean, I can't. I've never seen you making this up.
I know it sounds like it, doesn't it?
It
and
certainly
every time
does.
I tell this story, everybody always asks me if I have a Toyota, but
yeah.
And how many times has this happened, Joanna?
Twice.
Have you reported this to the authorities?
Well, if you haven't,
don't. Right, because they may come and get you. Well, we see a fair number of escapes in our shop, and I don't recall ever seeing one that was doing this. Is there right. any chance that the thing sits for weeks and weeks at a time without being driven?
No, I drive it pretty regularly.
Every day.
You drive it regularly. And so two times out of the last, how many times have you started it when it didn't exhibit this behavior? Out of what, 200?
I don't know, maybe 30 or 40.
So once every 30 or 40 times it does this.
Right.
See, I'm even having a problem explaining it with the electronic throttle. Mm-hmm. Unless somehow the problem is inside the little box that connects the actual physical throttle that you step on with the pedal, the throttle pedal, with the electronics in the box. It's got to be something like that. Take it to the Ford dealer and tell them what's going on. They may say, "Oh, we have a problem with these. We're going to fix it for you for nothing."
I don't have a dealership around here that I like.
Well, you don't have to take it to a dealership necessarily. You need to take it to someone who's familiar with this vehicle.
Okay, so I can just take it to a mechanic.
You can just take it to a mechanic and tell him what happened, and right. he's going to say, "Oh, that's impossible." And then and then you may need to leave it with him so it happens to him perhaps. And you won't have to bother moving it when there's street cleaning, because he'll have it. So leave it with him until you need the thing, and then maybe you can get him to reproduce the conditions.
Okay.
All right. And I'm guessing it's the electronic throttle.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I wonder who put her up to this. I don't believe a word of it. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Anna from South Royalton, Vermont.
Hi, Anna.
So I have a 2006 Nissan Altima automatic, and it does not like going out of park when I, turn on the car in the morning to leave. I have an elaborate system of about 10 to 15 minutes I have to do before it'll move out of park.
You can't move the shifter out
right.
of park.
Yep.
And what do you do to get the shifter out?
Well, a variety of different things. I'm not sure which one actually does it, but I will...
Give us the list.
Turn the headlights on and off. I will pump the brakes a few times. I usually rev it to heat it up. I find that it's often worse in the cold. And one person suggested that the car was having a hard time figuring out that I was actually pressing the brake that would allow it to go out of park, which seems to be the case, because what I've noticed lately is that if I pump the brakes a few times and then wait and then do it again, there's a feeling I get when I know it's going to work.
And that's the most likely thing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all
the other stuff is bogus.
I like the headlight thing, though. I'm going to recommend it to some customers.
It happened one time, and then it happened a few other times, and I was like, well, maybe that's it, but no.
Well, all modern cars that have automatic transmissions all have an interlock, which prevents you from shifting out of park unless you step on the brake.
Right, and I had a mechanic look at that. I had only been to him this one time, so I'm not entirely enamored of him, but he said that wasn't the problem, but I don't know how much he really looked at it.
Well, this has a switch on the brake pedal, okay, which sends a signal to a control unit, which sends a signal to the solenoid, which is on the shifter,
right.
which basically pulls a pin out of the way so that you can then move the shifter.
Yep.
And all this ain't happening.
All this ain't, right. So the simplest thing, obviously, is to make sure that the switch is working.
Okay.
And the way we do that is we just take the wires off the switch and just stick them together.
Oh, okay.
And if the thing, if you can shift it every time, then hallelujah, you've found it out and it's a $12 switch and you're done.
Okay.
But it could easily be the other pieces.
Okay, like the solenoid or something?
Yeah, it could be the solenoid. You know, that's probably the most likely piece.
And how much is that?
I don't know, but it's more than the switch. It involves taking the console apart.
Okay.
You know, but you've got to fix it. Now, somewhere you have a shift override. Do you know that?
I do know that I have it theoretically. I didn't know where that was.
It might be a good idea to find it. I mean, imagine this scenario. You have stopped for whatever reason at a railroad crossing.
I knew the railroad crossing was going to have some effect.
I park those all the time. Is that not good?
And it stopped, and you made the mistake of putting it in park and turning the key off, and then you see a locomotive chugging along, and you start the thing up.
Chugging? I thought it was going to be flying.
No, we want to prolong the agony. It's chugging along, and it's going to be minutes before it gets you, and you're trying to get this thing out of park.
Stuck and
yeah, so you need to find, and every car has that too.
Okay.
You know, so you need to find it. It'll describe in your manual where it is and familiarize yourself with it. You may need a tool like a screwdriver or something to operate this thing, but it's good to know.
Right, right.
So you got to get it fixed.
All right.
And at the very least, if you don't get it fixed, find out where the override is so you can, you know, reliably put it in park when you need to. And then get out of park before the train hits you.
Okay, and or just stop parking on train tracks.
Don't stop on train tracks.
Don't do that.
Right.
Yeah.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye. 888.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Of all the problems that people call in about, I don't have any of those things with my Fiat.
No.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice. You also don't
it doesn't go anywhere.
No, but even when it does go.
So you can't get hurt if you're not going anywhere.
Well, that's true. It's good to sit in your driveway and
and go vroom, vroom.
There's something to be said. I've misjudged you. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk. Yeah, you have none of these problems.
Hey, you
got none.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, this is Andrew in Colorado Springs. How's it going, fellas?
Andrew in Colorado Springs. I've been there, and I have a son named Andrew.
Oh, both good things.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
Hey, I got a marital dispute for you guys to settle for.
Oh, I'm good at that.
Well, Tony's good at initiating marital disputes. We don't know about settling them, but we'll take a shot.
How many wives do I not have now? Never mind.
No, we've lost count.
We'll give it a miss.
All right, fellas. My wife and I have been married about 5 months.
Oh.
My wife has an 06 Honda CRV.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, it gets cold here during the winter.
Mm. Yes.
So her Honda CRV, when it is cold, is not really that excited to get started. When I will try to keep this anonymous. So when one of us starts the car, one of us will just crank it, and it will go, and then finally catch and start up, boom, you know?
Yeah.
And then another one of us will hold it, and if it doesn't start in a second, we'll turn it back the other way.
Oh, in other words, one persists, one keeps cranking it.
Yes.
And the other one of you tries it for a second or two, and then turns the key off, and then what, tries it again in a few seconds?
That's exactly right.
So tries it intermittently.
Yes.
So so you're the grinder and she's the waiter.
Well, actually, I am the waiter. She wants me to grind it.
Really?
So which one of us, she is worried that I am wrecking her car, and I think she's ruining it.
Oh, I think you're more likely to be on the right side here.
Nice.
Nice.
He loves it.
So, I mean, the reason it's having a hard time starting, I assume, is that it's just so damn cold.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course, when you're asking the engine to start up when it's, we had a puzzler many, many years ago about a guy that worked in a place where there were diesel trucks, and there was one guy that had a magic formula that involved saying a little prayer, and what he would do is when all these guys couldn't start their diesel trucks, he'd have them crank the thing for a second, he'd stop, he'd say a prayer, and then the thing would start. And the reason it started is it's helpful sometimes to wait a few seconds. The battery kind of gets recharged a little bit, but more importantly, the heat that was generated by the friction warms up the air in those cylinders and warms up the pistons a little bit, you know, and it has an easier time starting. So I think the on-off, again, assuming you don't do it for an hour, you know,
right,
but I would imagine after three or four tries, it starts for you.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, it's a reliable car. It doesn't take very many times, but she yells yells at me every time.
So and so she gets out there and she's and when you notice that the speed of the starter motor starts to drop off, that's when you're overheating the starter motor, and you're also damaging the starter motor a little bit, and you're depleting the battery.
Perfect.
And so you are, boy, you are. You are on the moral high ground here, man.
I love to hear that.
Yeah. So, but she's yelling at you, huh?
Well, no, that's overstating it. She's incredibly gentle and loving and the best wife I've ever had.
So. Yeah, but let's see how she is after you tell her she's wrong.
We will see.
We'll be waiting for your call next week.
All right, thanks a lot.
See you later.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin, the Barbarian, and David the Calves of Belleville Green. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Fond du Lac, Cracker Jack, Sugar Smack, Baby Back, Salty Snack, Cheese Mac, Lego Yak, Ribeye Rack, Knock 'em Back, Lunch Attack, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our sensitive language advisor is Holly Schmidt. Our staff morale coach is Donna Karen E. Moore. Our financial advisor is Nora Lenderby. Our jewelry appraiser is Golden My Ear. Our martial arts trainer is Anita DeGroin. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Mandy Luz Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the tweed-jacketed mimes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, please, don't drive like my brother.
And remember this.
Yes,
don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1018, browse through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com, or you can call the Shameless Commerce Division at 888-CAR-JUNK.
Also this week at cartalk.com, your own personalized car page.
Well, not exactly personalized, but it's a page dedicated to your specific make and model. So if you have a Honda Accord, for instance, you can sign up for the Honda Accord page.
And if you have a 77 Fiat Spider...
Well, you can go away and bother someone else, please. Actually, this service is called My Car Talk. It's free, and it's full of useful information specific to your make and model of car. You can even sign up for email alerts so you know when new information has been added.
Looks like someone on my page just started an oil leak support group.
Check out My Car Talk, all about your specific car.
It's on the homepage at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though wrecking ball operators ask for the address of our studio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.